It's now a year to the week, a year to the weekend, if that is such a phrase, since the European elections. We are joined now on the line by Green Party MEP for Dublin, Ciarán Cuff. Ciarán, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Not bad at all.
Thank you very much for taking our call and speaking to us this lunchtime. It's been quite the year, all things EU, and plenty of different things that have come and gone. We'll talk more about the Green Party's own internal issues in a little while if we have time. But just about the EU's plan to fund the coronavirus response, we know that corona bonds were sort of considered and then thrown out again. We now have this apparent solution proposed by France and Germany that the EU would collectively borrow to help fund the coronavirus response, and then countries would pay it back by virtue of their contributions to the EU budget. It seems like a very good idea on the face of it for the likes of Ireland, because it could mean a large amount of funding we wouldn't have had otherwise. But a lot of people would be uneasy that this is something which now seems like a fait accompli just because two of the bigger countries have done a side deal to stitch it up.
Well, I think often the big players end up having discussions that lead European policy. And I think the discussion between Angela Merkel and Macron is all about spending 500 billion or maybe 3.5% of Europe's GDP to address the pandemic and get us out of the economic hole that we're in. I think it's a good idea. The Green Group in Europe suggested that we issue euro bonds to provide solidarity to countries that have been particularly adversely impacted by the pandemic. And, you know, most countries have. And I think, if anything, the lesson from the last financial crisis, global financial crisis 10 years ago, was that too much austerity is not a good thing. So I think we do need to spend. And I think as well, it's an opportunity, because there's so much we want to achieve in terms of economic recovery, the European Green Deal, the digital investment. And I think those of us who've been working from home using phone lines, using Zoom, know that digital is important. And I think, looking at the stats on climate change, we know that tackling climate change and climate action is hugely important as well. So I think putting 500 billion into the pot is a good thing. And I think most countries understand this. I think for Ireland, though, the danger is that we may side with those who are looking for austerity. I mean, Ireland is part of this kind of new Hanseatic League, which includes Nordic countries, who are often a little bit hawkish in terms of spending. And listening to Pascal Donohue over the last while, I sense a certain danger that he might be looking for austerity as part of the plan. But I think we need to spend. And I think when you see both France and Germany saying that we need to put money into the pot to tackle the crisis, I tend to agree with what they're saying.
One bit that might have been overlooked, though, in that Franco-German possible solution is the idea that a part of a condition for accessing those funds would be abidance by the EU's Green New Deal. Is that something that is likely to become binding? And what would that mean for the likes of Ireland if it was to access funds out of this mechanism?
Well, I think it would allow us to put money into some fantastic initiatives that would aid job creation. I've been working on a report on the renovation way for the Energy Committee, essentially saying that we need to spend about 75 billion a year in Europe to bring all the buildings up to a near zero energy standard. And that's the kind of stimulus that would create jobs both at a low and a very high skill level. So I think from an Irish perspective, that can help bring us a just transition. It can help us invest in the Midlands of Ireland, where people are transitioning away from extraction, from turf extraction. So I think it could be a good thing. And when I look at the European Green Deal, I see huge potential, not just in the construction sector, in the energy sector, in terms of investment in renewables, in transportation, in terms of fueling the move towards electrification, and in agriculture, in terms of moving away from giving large lumps of money to the multinationals, but actually investing in farm families and the communities that they live in. So it is a change in European policy, but I'm very heartened that at the highest level within the European Commission, that Ursula von der Leyen, Kadri Simpson, Frans Timmermans, they are all saying that the way out of the pandemic crisis that has led to a 7.5% contraction in the European Union's economy this year, the way out is to invest in a recovery plan that puts the European Green Deal full square and centre, well, and certainly that's agreed.
On a similar note, we've seen a lot of moves here in the capital in the last couple of weeks that the City Council has decided to capitalise on the fact that a lot of the streets have been pretty much deserted by introducing a new mobility plan. And a lot of people would say that, you know, part of the reason why people like yourself and a lot of other Green councillors got elected 12 months ago was to introduce the likes of this. But some people would wonder whether now might be the right time, because as the economy begins to revive a little bit, as more and more people need to get back into urban centres, for the time being at least, to be able to go to work, is it the right time to reduce Dublin's capacity for cars at a time when the capacity of public transport is going to be dramatically slashed due to social distancing?
I think it's a time to increase capacity for people. And that's why I think Dublin City Council has produced this document that says we should give more space to both walking and cycling in the city, and indeed for public transport as well, because we need to get more journeys out of the buses and trains that we're using so that they're not overcrowded. And ultimately, the car is a very inefficient way of moving people around. Funnily enough, if you look at the business in the city centre, and this, there's a great report from a few years back from the National Transport Authority, and they showed that only 20% of the spend was coming from people who arrived by car. 40% was coming from those who arrived by bus, and a significant amount from those who arrived by walking or cycling. So I think the report we've seen from Dublin City Council is essentially moving more quickly with initiatives that have been stymied for many years.
Well, whether there might be an economic rationale for it, though, there is also the health argument that at a time when people do still feel like they are a bit vulnerable, and don't forget, of course, the weather is always changeable too, that a lot of people feel like their health is better preserved, at least for the forthcoming weeks or months, by going in and out of town in a car rather than going on public transport, even if they are sitting more than 2 metres away from someone else.
Well, that's true. A lot of our footpaths are too narrow to allow for social distancing. The general footpath is 2.4 metres wide, which doesn't allow two people to pass each other without one stepping out into the roadway. So I think it is a golden opportunity to widen footpaths and to make it a bit easier. But in the wider, in the broader sense, you know, some of the bigger health risks, the pandemic is obviously a clear and immediate one. But we do know that poor urban air quality kills 1,500 people a year in Ireland, and that being overweight or obese kills thousands of people prematurely. So there's the opportunity for a real win-win. If we make it a lot easier and safer to cycle and to walk, we'll see more people leaving the car at home. We'll see the cleaner air that we've seen over the last couple of months continue. And I think it can be a real positive. I mean, the amount of people who talk about the clear blue sky, being able to hear birdsong. I mean, I could wax lyrical about this, but the bottom line is, if we want our urban centres to thrive, we need to invest in walking and cycling. And funnily enough, next Thursday, I'm running a webinar on the issue with some great speakers from all around Europe, from Vienna, from Brussels, and from Ennis in County Clare. So it's not as if Dublin is just doing this alone. There's great examples around Europe. So if you look at my social media channels, you can sign up for that webinar. We've hundreds of people signed up for that already.
Twitter.com/Kieran Cuff is where you'll find some of the details of that. I want to bring you on to some of the more domestic matters about the Green Party. We know that the party is still in talks with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael about trying to negotiate a programme for government. Those talks are supposed to be confidential, so even if you did know much about what was going on, I suspect you wouldn't be telling us about them anyway. But is now the right time to contemplate or to be entertaining the whole question of changing leader? Not the principle of whether you should have one leader there in eternity, but just the idea of having to contemplate just right now, just you know, 3 months after the best general election you've ever had, 12 months after the best local and European elections you've ever had, when a programme for government might only be a week or two away, is now really the right time to be having to contemplate the whole question mark about changing leader?
No, it's not a great time at all. But our party constitution dictates that we have a leadership election or selection after each general election. I mean, I'm lucky that we've so many great people who could lead the party. And, you know, both Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin would make excellent leaders. But I don't believe we should be changing horses in midstream. I think we need continuity at this time. So I think it is best for the moment for Eamon to continue.
Was it wise that Eamon Ryan decided to bring forward this mandatory thing? Because it seems as if from some of the newspapers that he brought forward this mandatory leadership contest or election nominations window, call it what you will, because he wanted to make sure that the whole thing was done and dusted before he went into summer holidays. And now he has accidentally created an environment where there could be a heave right in the midst of government formation.
Well, I think the date for when the ballots would be issued are cast in stone, I think on the 22nd or 23rd of June. But I think the opening of nominations and the final call for nominations was up to the executive council of the party. And, you know, I would prefer it if that had been pushed back to towards the end of June. But look, these are decisions that I weren't party to. And I think with hindsight, there may have been better ways of choosing the dates. But look, the election process, the nominations are open. The final date for nominations, I think, is the 7th of June, and we'll see what comes of them.
Catherine Martin, in her statement this week, didn't quite put the whole thing to bed. She said the focus was on the talks and a programme for government, but they could be wrapped up inside a week, and she has 2 weeks to decide whether she wants to put her name forward. Would it have been more helpful, to your mind, if Catherine Martin had at least said, you know, not this time, and at least allowed the focus to be on government talks?
Look, it might have been, but, you know, we're a wide church as a party, and as I said on Twitter the other day, we to paraphrase PJ Mara, when talking about Charlie Haughey many years ago, he said una duce, una voce, una duce. In other words, one leader, one voice. But we're not that kind of party. We have lots of excellent people. We've different views from different people as to who might lead the party. And I think we tend to get on. And it is important that we get on with the government formation talks. And that's exactly what Catherine Martin said. But, you know, on the wider, the more substantive question as to what we do right now, I think we should continue with the same leader through and see what happens from the government talks.
Why do you believe, as someone who is in the party for quite a lot longer than most of its members now in 2020, why do you believe Catherine Martin is so attractive to so many members, and that she seems to perhaps speak to the glut of new members that you've had in the last couple of years more than Eamon Ryan has done?
Well, I think both Eamon and Catherine have a fantastic vision of the future. And I think particularly looking at Catherine, she has been excellent in setting up the Women's Caucus within the Oireachtas and bringing together politicians from all around the world to discuss the role of women in bringing politics forward and bringing the many issues that are hugely important into the frame. But by the same token, I think Eamon has done extraordinary work both in government and in opposition. He is somebody who stayed with the party when we were reduced to having no members in the Oireachtas 9 years ago, and I think he's put a lot of work into growing the party from perhaps 500 members when we left office to over 3,000 members now. But I think it's a team. It's all about teamwork. It's not just about Eamon or all about Catherine. I think it's about some extraordinary constituency chairs and elected representatives from county councils through to the Shannon, the Doyle, and certainly Grace O'Sullivan and myself are working hard in Europe. So I wouldn't be saying it's about one person. It's about being a team. And I think if you look at Green parties around Europe, some of them have co-leaders. The German Greens certainly do. And I would never think that it's down to one person and their influence over the party.
All of that being said, though, if there were to be a contest, you can take it that Eamon Ryan would have your support.
Well, what I'm saying is that I don't think we should change horses in midstream, and I think we need continuity. So I think I think it's best for Eamon to continue.
Ciarán Cough, Green Party MEP for Dublin, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime on The Record.